in those days there was a maximum wage, so that sort of spread things around. Now I can remember I was only a young apprentice then, and gathered meetings all around the country. There was a meeting at Bellevue, and the very delegate, he stood up and he said, "We're making all this fuss and we're talking about going on strike, and we need to be very mindful that we don't upset the very public that pays our wages. My father is a miner, and he goes down that pit and he earns less than a football. And Tommy Banks, the real farm-worthy and strong fullback, in those days you used to remember your favourite team because you could just go, they had a team of Hopkins and Hartle, Banks, Henning, Higgins, Edwards, Holden, Parry, Lofthouse, Stevens, Birch. You just, every week it seemed to play the same name. I mean, now I have to tell you, it's really hard enough to know the team, and if you know the team, I can't pronounce half the name, because that's just the way that things have changed. But Tommy Banks got up and he said, "I hear what they say, lad," he said, "and I've got every respect for your father's job. In fact, I've done it. I've been down the pit and I've been at that cold face, and it's really tough." He said, "But I tell you what, you try telling your dad to come up out of that cold face and mark brother Stanley Matthews next Saturday afternoon." And that brought the point home that it was a special skill and they needed to capitalise on their ability. Having said that, I can remember, you know, being fortunate enough, because I promised my mum and dad I'd keep going at football because it was a maximum wage and there were other professions that would have probably been more lucrative. And three of us queued up to try and see if we were going to be signed at 17. And the first two lads came out. One was very crestfallen and went to Nelson, and then he was signed by Jimmy Hill for Coventry, and he made his mark, not just as a good footballer, that's called only mentioned, but as a case that we took to the very House of Lords, because with television it showed the referee was clearly wrong. Nothing changes when you think about England and Germany, but the referee was clearly wrong, and we took it all the way up to the House of Lords, and Lord Denning, as it was then, he said, "Yes," he said, "I can see you're actually quite right, but the fact is that the referee has to be right, even when he's wrong," which was some judgment. The next lad in was Alan Ball, actually, so you know the story, because he'd come out in tears, said he was going to be too small ever to become a footballer, the manager had told him, and he should think of becoming a jockey. And he became the first £100,000 player when he moved to Everton, and of course, talking about hosting a World Cup, the only chance of getting winning it, that was 1966. I went in and they signed me on, so what looked really fortunate, we got relegated. But I'm reminded that day when Bill Ridding said, well, he was always conscious that the game would collapse with the removal of the maximum wage, and was very conscious about money, to the extent that when I made my debut, you know, I went to see him and I said, well, you're in the team, and very good, very good. And then he said, as I was going out, I just remembered, and I said, "Yeah, so what is it?" I said, "Would it be possible to have two complimentary tickets for this evening's game?" And he said, "Good at what?" I said, "My mum and dad." I said, "If your mum and dad won't pay to watch it, how can you expect anybody else?" and so finance has always been a big issue. The fact is, 5 years later, we won the World Cup, and the game was attracting a lot.